I didn't wear the same shirt again today. Some of us were talking about needing to wear the same shirt again. Because for those of you who haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, welcome to my world. I was supposed to say a bit about Israel yesterday. Yeah, a bunch of people have been asking me to give a bit of a blurb about Israel and next year's tours and so forth, and what's happening, and also to give a little plug for the book. And I said, I'll do it tomorrow, and then I realised that yesterday I was wearing the appropriate shirt to have given the blurb about Israel. And so I was encouraged to wear it again today, but I thought, well, rather than wear it, I'll just bring it in and show it to you. So this is the shirt that I was wearing under my jumper yesterday. And this logo here is a biblical lamp, and this says in three languages, Nazareth Village. And it's from a place in Nazareth that is a... Has anyone, possibly Abby might be the only one, been to Sovereign Hill in Ballarat, Victoria? Hey, a few of you. Is there an equivalent up this way in Queensland?
Well, a little bit.
A little, right, but something similar. So,
Teach Village and Hermitage. Really
okay. So, what Nazareth Village is in Nazareth is they have a property about the size of the church property here, a little bit bigger. That they have built buildings like they would have been when Jesus lived in Nazareth. And so you can walk through this Nazareth village just like it was, would have looked like in Jesus' time. And it's run by born-again Christians. It's one of only two world-class popular tourist destinations in Israel that are run by born-again believers. The other one is the Garden Tomb in Israel, in Jerusalem. And so this is the shirt that you can get from Nazareth Village. And on the back, it says, follow me, Jesus of Nazareth. Okay? So that's what I was going to wear yesterday.
And it's embroidered. It's not painted on.
Yeah, this is embroidered on the front. Yeah. So it's a nice quality piece of shirt. And so when we're on the tour and it's the day that we go to Nazareth Village, I wear that shirt. And the guides who take you around all sort of look at me twice, sort of going, I don't recognise you. Because all the guides wear one of them. And someone said to me, but you're not a guide. What are you doing wearing one of those shirts? And I said, well, you sell them in the shop. And I bought it when I was here on a previous trip, and now I'm wearing it because we're going to be here today. Anyway, so I do, I'll say a little bit, it's hard for me not to say a lot, but I'll say a little bit, basically what I said to those who I was talking to about it yesterday, is that I've already become extremely passionate about encouraging particularly young people, who are the majority of who are here today, to make the sacrifice to come on one of the tours with me to Israel, okay? Everyone who has been on the tour has been blown away by how their understanding of the scriptures has just gone ballistic. Have I got my tissues ready? No, I've got a couple in my pocket. But we'll stick the box over here, okay? All the oldies who come with me on the trip, because the first couple of trips, most of the people in the groups were in their 60s, 70s and so forth, because they were retired and they had the funds and the time to be able to come. But all of these older folk were all saying, I wish I had done this at the beginning of my Christian life, because now I've got to undo all this thinking that I've had about what happened in the scripture that I've been thinking was right all my life, and it was wrong. And so that sort of impacted me to, you know, start encouraging young people to go, and then young people would come. And then on one trip, we had a missionary and his wife come with us, and it's Gary and Faith Mackay, who are missionaries to New Britain, which is one of the islands off Papua New Guinea, but it's part of Papua New Guinea. And these are genuine pioneer missionaries. They're out in the jungle reaching the Kul people who have no written language, have never seen white people before, know nothing about the rest of the world. They just, their little jungle is all that they've ever known. And so here they are, breaking completely new ground in this century, people that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And so like Paul in Mars Hill, they've had to go back to creation and work their way up to who the Saviour is. They can't just go out in and say, you know, you're a sinner, you need to believe on Jesus, like we talked about yesterday, okay? Now, so this is the missionary couple. And we got back to Tullamarine Airport in Melbourne, and we were about to break up and say our farewells and go our different directions. And the group asked him to say a word of thanks on behalf of the group. And this guy stands up and not only says thank you, but says that apart from his salvation, this experience has been the greatest experience of his life. Coming from the mouth of a pioneer missionary. And I've never been able to get over that. And so because of that, and because it draws you closer to the Lord, it opens up the scriptures for you, that's why I'm so passionate about young people going. And I say, sell your car and come on the tour. Because all up, you need about $6,000. Okay? I keep the cost of the tour down to the minimum, so to make it as affordable as possible. And the tour cost covers everything. You can leave your wallet and your purse at home, basically, because you get an all-you-can-eat breakfast, you get an all-you-can-eat dinner. All right, come on. So, and her dad... When Abby's dad, you've met Charlie and Simone? Okay. When he got, after his tour, he said, "Brother, I know this isn't very spiritual, but one of the highlights of the trip was the food." And it is. It's just wonderful, wonderful food. And the only money that I would say that you need to bring with you is about $20 a day to buy lunch, if you can fit it in, or a coffee or an ice cream or something like that around lunchtime, and any money that you want to buy some souvenirs to bring home. But literally, you could leave your wallet or purse at home. And so everything's covered in the tour component, and then you buy your own airfares, and that's somewhere between $1,500 and $2,500, depending on who you fly with and when you book it. But that cost added on to the tour cost will come to somewhere just over $5,000, all right? And less than six for your flights and the tour and the accommodation and everything. So I've had people, retired people who've been on a lot of tours and trips, come up to me and say, "Brother Kev, how can you do all this for so little?" So it is, humanly speaking, a really good value tour anyway, but the impact it will have on you and how you'll be able to make the scriptures come alive and be able to minister to... remind me on break to take my tablets, okay? To be able to yourself grow closer to the Lord, to be able to minister to your kids, to be able to minister to your Sunday school class, to the unsaved, the way that it will bring the scriptures alive by seeing it in 3D and learning about the stuff on site is just incredible. Callum was first. That same question. It all fits within 2 weeks, so that if you have to take time off work, you only have to take 2 weeks off work. So we leave on a Sunday afternoon and we get back on a Saturday afternoon. So you have 11 and a half, 12 days in Israel. At one stage, I incorporated a bit of time in Jordan on the other side of the river. But the consensus of even of a young lady whose family lived in Jordan, and she's of Syrian descent, said I'd rather spend more time in Israel seeing the places that you had to cut out of the tour than see these extra couple of places. Like, we went up to Mount Nebo and viewed the land like Moses did. But it's usually pretty hazy and it's sort of over there. and so everyone says, no, we'd rather spend more time in Israel going to all the places. And we don't... I think there is one Catholic church that we drop into as we pass by the Pool of Siloam, because it's world famous for its acoustics. And we go in there and there's this beautiful hot spot where you sing and it is just... resonates and is so beautiful, and we stand in there and sing Amazing Grace and use it as an opportunity to witness to any Catholics that are around. So, but unlike, it's nothing like any other tour, okay? It is essentially the tour brings the highlights of what's in this book and in the course that I teach on what life was like in Bible times alive in 3D on site, and that's as much as I'll say now, I think. Yeah, just do it. All right, and now this stage, I was supposed to be in Israel right now, okay, doing two tours. Because of COVID, we've put them off to this time next year. Those two tour groups are sort of still full to overflowing. But there is a possibility that there might be a spot if you want to try and get in on next year's one. Otherwise, you have to wait 2 years. My wife will only let me go once every 2 years, okay? So as not to overdo it. But I'd love, honestly, if the Lord raised up a new principal for the Bible College, then I would happily just do this full time, because of the way I've seen the Lord use it and touch lives. Okay, enough of that. All right, it's time for a break. All right, we've got to try and fit in two studies in one session, and well, half of a session, okay? So, song leading, the scripture there, Colossians 3:16, talks about making melody in your heart, singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, all right? So music is an important part of life, let alone young people's ministry. And music is something that's going to be in heaven. And so it should be a part of your life, not just when you're at church and singing. You should be singing constantly, listening to good music that draws you closer to the Lord and so forth. Our kids grew up on Patch the Pirate. Okay, I'm sure a bunch of you guys did too. I don't know if you're aware, but Ron Hamilton has dementia. Alzheimer's. Yeah. Alzheimer's, yeah. And so he's basically... but his little quirk that he has with his Alzheimer's is that he laughs at everything. So I'm not sure if he still knows who Shelley is, but he basically just doesn't know who's what, and if something happens, good or bad, he laughs, which I think is a very appropriate thing for Ron to have. But he has, and his songs, we sang a couple of them last night, didn't we? Okay, the world knows it. The world uses the Wiggles and High Five. Okay, you with me? and rock and roll, you name it. Music is a powerful tool for good or for evil. So let's talk about the purpose and benefits of song time. The purpose and benefits of song time. So young people remember the songs, okay? Particularly because you sing them week in, week out. Whereas you don't, unless you're like me and have only got three messages, you don't just preach the same message over and over each week. So Martin Luther, when he was travelling through Europe and preaching and teaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, he would teach songs along with his message, and we've still got some of them in our hymn books. And the doctrines that he would teach, he would put in the lyrics of the song, so that after he was gone, the Christians would sing the song and be reminded of and review the doctrines of the scriptures in song. Okay. Of course, how many of us know Jesus loves me? One of the greatest doctrines ever, right? And so, Danny Olmsted. Some of you know Danny and Sue Olmsted. Danny shared about how he would sing that song for the boys from the rough homes that he would deal with in his ministry when he was in Murray Bridge. And it would settle them down and encourage them. Now, not only is it a way for the young people to remember biblical truths, but having a song time before you bring the message helps to prepare the hearts of the young ones. And you guys know this, so I'm not really telling you anything new. That's why you do it. But it does prepare whatever age group you're dealing with, prepares them for the message. But also, it involves them in the worship. It involves the congregation in the worship. So they're not just passively sitting there and have someone talking to them all the time. They get to be part of the time of speaking to the Lord, and they get to speak to him in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so all these, I've sort of doubled up on one here when I started talking about Martin Luther, but another point here is that the songs teach spiritual truths, of course, and it helps to get rid of the wiggle worms, okay, before the message. Now, Rico, do you know what the wiggle worms are? No. You can guess? Yeah, okay. And wiggle worms relates to this Patch the Pirate thing, which you don't know Patch the Pirate. We'll explain that to you later. But it's a Christian children's ministry in the US that has had impact across the world, particularly through music. Anyway, so number two, profile of the perfect song leader. Here it is. Okay, profile of the perfect song leader. Okay, be prepared and be prepared. Oh, there's no texters there. Oh, mate, that's to keep it out of reach of the adults as well as the kids, is it? So be prepared and be prepared. Okay? I think we all understand. You won't find that in the dictionary, okay? That's a Kevin word, all right? So, song leader, if you're leading the singing, know the theme, if possible, of the message that's coming up. And if possible, select songs that will connect with the message. But most importantly, remember the Holy Spirit is your guide to what songs you choose. All right? So don't just have this unspiritual mentality that, okay, this is the theme, so I'm going to pick this song, this song, this song, and this song, without being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, that, yes, you don't necessarily have to pick every song to do with the theme, but maybe this song that you keep getting drawn towards might be good, and you don't know that that's what one of the kids needed, okay? Or one of the young people, or one of the leaders as well, okay? Know the songs, okay? Know the songs. And if you're using visuals, know how the visuals work. Okay, you know the book ones where you turn them. Do you sing? Wider than, what's the one with the cross? Wider than. Who can wash away my sins? Right, nothing but the what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, and it's a square. And you flip it up and you flip it down, you flip it out.
Actually, we just have it a box.
You got it as a box.
Do you want to see it?
Yeah, grab it.
I am getting cross.
They're not too dear to buy from me.
No, I am. I thought I felt that vibrating. That's what I thought. Now, that's shameful. I am getting cross because this doesn't fold out into the shape of a cross. Can you show me how that becomes a cross? you need a jigsaw and a jackhammer. So the way it's supposed to be done is that it's flat. And you flip one up, and then you flip one out, and then you flip the next one out, and then you drop it down, and then you drop the next one down, and it forms the shape of a cross. That's what it's supposed to do. Did you? Oh, you got your books. Okay. But the... there it is. That's all right. But this, you start with what can wash away my sins, and you flip that up. And then you drop it down and it says nothing but the blood of Jesus, and then you flip the next one out, but and then it comes back because you keep repeating this one here as you go through, nothing but the blood of Jesus, and then the bottom ones drop down and drop down, and it ends up, that's why this one's in the middle at the top, so that it stays there when you come back and sing it a second time. But the bottom line is, you're in trouble, yeah. You don't have to go and get one of the big ones, okay? But some of them, there's a chorus at the back, and you go through it, the first verse, and then you have to flip to the chorus, then you have to come back to the second verse. So you need to actually know where to keep your fingers and how to do it, so that you can just do it, and you're not going like this to look at the words. And that was what I was impressed with Carlos last night, was that he was looking at the children as he was singing because he knew the words. And that is what a song leader is supposed to be like, okay? That when you're holding these things up, you're not trying to see what it is as well. You know the song. You know the way the visual operates, okay? That's what did I say? Be prepared, okay? All right. Here we go. Now, sometimes someone's sick and you get called upon. I mean, ideally you do all this before the program starts, but if need be, and someone's been sick or their car's broken down or something like that and they can't get in here, and someone says, oh, Carlos, can you fill in tonight for Callum because he can't do it or whatever. His car's broken down again. But anyway, and you at the drop of a hat have to jump up, that you can just grab quickly grab a few that you know and that you don't have to practice and think about, and you can just jump up and do it, okay? Be ready like that. Make sure that the musician has plenty of warning, if possible, about what songs are going to be sung. Now, sometimes... it's Emma, isn't it? No?
Emma.
It is Emma, who was playing the piano last night. Don't stare. It was you, Emma, playing the music last night, wasn't it? Yeah. So before I got up to lead in the With Christ in My Vessel song, I went across to Emma and checked first with her that she knew the song, because it wasn't in your songbook. Okay? So I wasn't about to get up there and say, okay, we're going to sing With Christ in My Vessel, and then I look across at the girl on the piano and she goes, like that. Okay? That's uncool. I mean, would you want someone to do that to you? So don't do it to them. All right? So I checked. She said, yeah, I know it. Yep, I know I've got the music here somewhere or something like that. So she had a heads up. She was ready to go. And then so when I started, I only had one blunder on the second time round. I forgot to give her a chance to give us an introduction. But anyway, try to make sure the musician knows the songs, okay? And give thought to the song order. Give thought to the song order. Try to end with a quieter song. Don't hand over to the speaker hyped up kids. Okay? So, did you ever talk to God above?
Yep.
Did you ever talk to God above? Tell Him that you need a friend to love. Pray in Jesus' name, believing that God answers prayer. Beautiful, beautiful. So, a song like that is really good just before you hand over to the speaker. The kids have been awake, they've had fun, and then someone like that sort of brings them and opens them up ready for the spiritual input of the message. Make sure you got your visuals out and ready to go. It's the worst thing is to see the song leader sing this song, and then the next thing they're foraging through the folder to find their next song. It's in here somewhere, you know. Oh, here we go. Okay, get them out, have them in order, ready to go. Sometimes you might need to explain a song, introduce it, explain what it's about, okay? I think I may have even said something about With Christ in My Vessel last night, I can't remember. But, the song pictures a boat on the water, but it's talking about, and when we sing it, we say, With Christ in My Vessel, we point at ourselves, that the song's talking about having the Lord Jesus in you because you're a Christian and He's living in you. Okay, that's, and we are the vessel. And sometimes you get to preach a little message, and the preacher's there going, mate, I'm supposed to be the preacher, that song leader there preaching, he's cheated because he's explaining the song. He's getting to preach instead of me. But anyway, you can slap him about later. All right. Use appropriate songs for the age group, okay? A Mighty Fortress Is Our God is not really an appropriate song for the primaries, okay? And This Little Light of Mine is sort of not really appropriate for the teens, okay? But some teens love to sing songs like that. I've got a group of teens in Sydney that I do camps for almost every year, teen camp at the Epic Teens. And when we sing, among the songs that we sing at the camp are With Christ in My Vessel, This Little Light, and these teens are guys, you're the second best, but these teens are just so wonderful to minister to. They aren't...
What do you mean? That's not a teenager song, you know, it's a kid's song.
They just love to sing, they love to have fun, and they love to get serious about God. Try to introduce new songs as you can, if you can find them, and if need be, make up the visuals for them. Okay, done that, and that is perhaps you might like to introduce a new song, but you think, mate, when am I going to find the time or the skill to put together a visual? Well, some of these other young people who aren't ready to step up into a ministry type thing, that's something that you could say, would anybody like to, I've got this song that I want to teach, but I need someone to make up a visual for it. Would anybody like to help out, serve the Lord in that way? Okay? So, but then don't overdo it, or just do it for the sake of it type thing. Okay? Now, be aware of favourites and let them have it. Okay? Particularly the little ones, they'll sing Jesus Loves Me every week. Okay? And I know I have favourites that I like to sing, and there, you know, some songs I don't mind singing them every day, let alone every week. So don't stop the kids just because, oh, we sang that last week, sort of mentality, okay? And if it's a good song and it's Christ-honouring and doctrine teaching and all that sort of stuff, mate, let them sing it every week. Try to have a mix of action songs and sung songs for the littler ones, okay? The younger they are, the more they like action songs. But as I said, these teens in Sydney and I like to do it sometimes, even with the adults and stuff, do an action song just to stop them being old and grumpy and try and get them back to a Christ-like attitude. Okay. And don't be afraid of technology, such as data projectors and so on and so forth. But don't spoon-feed the kids. See, I know you could put some of these songs like this one. I know you could put it on an overhead. I know you could put Did You Ever Talk to God Above on an overhead. But if you do that, then you can't say, who'd like to hold the song tonight?
We were thinking of that now. We just made those new youth group books.
Yes.
But we were like, well, we can't do a favourites night then. The kids can't pick their favourites because they pick it, then they go on the computer, have to find the song in the system, and then put
it on the projector. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And so my advice is for kids' ministry, do not use overheads. Do not use PowerPoint presentations. Stick.
And it gives them something to hold
on. Gives them something to hold on to. And if you've got ones like Did You Ever Talk to God Above, now they might not know when to turn the pages. So can I get a couple of volunteers up here? You two girls will do. Okay. Just quick, come up here. Worst two we could pick. Now just imagine that this is 10 times bigger and it's a visualised song. Okay. Now these girls are going to hold the song, right? Now, guess what I'm going to do?
Hit us on the head.
I am going to stand right here, okay? I stay here. I don't go around the front. I stay here. And I know when the pages are supposed to be turned. So I'll stand here and lead and sing, and then I can go, now, and she can turn the page, you see. Yeah, you can tap them on the head. You can kick them in the shin. Thanks, girls. Okay, you get the point. And it is a reward for good behaviour and all that sort of stuff. And it's a buzz for the kids to be able to come up the front and help hold the song. Or if you're doing With Christ in My Vessel, you can say, "All right, I need a couple of volunteers to come up the front and help me show everybody the actions." That gets the kids involved, okay? So, particularly for the younger one, yes, that's exactly what I said. Amen. Someone was listening. So, particularly for the littler ones, no overheads and stuff, okay? Is my advice on it. Here we go. The next one. You had be prepared. Next one is be punctual. No, the first one was be prepared and prepared. My bad. Have you been taking all those notes under the second point? Well, yeah, that's what happens with me, I'm afraid, yeah. And that's why it was supposed to be an A4 sheet, but anyway. So, now, by the way, Lauren, in your defence, I'm supposed to be condensing songs and games into one session here, and so I was only supposed to, like, give half of those tips. But I think you understand that those are all pretty cool tips, aren't they? They're all pretty helpful things to know. You actually, this is the first under the profile of the perfect song leader. The first blank was supposed to be prepared, and then next to that, you know, in parentheses, and prepared, and then the second blank is supposed to be punctual. Okay, in other words, try to be there, start on time. Try to end your session on time so that you're not taking away from whoever's speaking the message, bringing the message. Next one is be enthusiastic. Okay, be enthusiastic. Doesn't start with P, but that's fine. Okay? Be enthusiastic. And of course, as I'm sure you all know, enthusiasm is contagious. You can override and overrule the naughty kids purely through your enthusiasm, and without even having to say a word to them. If all the rest of the kids are so taken up with what you're saying and doing and getting involved with it, nobody's taken any notice of them, and they'll end up looking at you and start to sing along too, sort of thing. Okay, so be enthusiastic. Put some action into the action songs, okay? And I guess I'm being a little bit critical of some of you from last night, but it's a bit hard, you know, with Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm, with Christ in my vessel, I can. Okay? With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm. Put a bit of action and enthusiasm into it. And did you see me sailing? Okay, sailing home. Now, you don't do that one just before the message, okay? Yeah, I did, didn't I? So you can see. That's exactly right, because I forgot my own teaching, but I just wanted to connect with them. There was a reason. I think I might have told you that, was it? Yeah. Or who? Yeah. There was a reason why I did that. It wasn't just to have fun. It was so that I could connect with the kids. And the best way to connect with kids is having fun with them. Okay? And that was the purpose of it. And yeah, I defeated my purpose somewhat in that they were all hyped up then when I wanted to start bringing the message. But so good point. But there, it was a catch-22. All right? So, where's my glasses? Here they are. All right. And I've talked about getting kids up to help. You know, other kids, that's probably an appropriate way to put it. Okay. And get leaders up as well. All right. Sing it a second time. Nothing wrong with doing that. Okay. And compliment the kids who are enthusiastic. Reward the kids who are being enthusiastic, rather than penalise the kids who aren't. Can you see the difference? Rather than picking on and penalising and therefore focusing on and giving the attention to, which is what they're after, the kids who aren't being enthusiastic, compliment, focus on, give the attention to the kids who are being enthusiastic and say, Jordan, boy, that's probably one of the best with Christ in my vessel actions I've ever seen. Make sure you come and see me afterwards. I've got a special treat for you or something, whatever. You with me? And the other kids go, okay, I'll take note of that. Be confident, all right? Don't worry if you make a mistake. And I made a mistake last night, remember, when I went to sing it the second time and I went to start without giving the piano player opportunity to give us an introduction. I went, oh, oops, sorry, and I apologised to the piano player and I just talked it through. I didn't try to cover it up as though I hadn't made a mistake. We just did it, dealt with it, and we moved on. And we didn't miss a beat. So that's the way to deal with. You make a mistake, just move on and even make fun of yourself out of it, okay? Which is typical Aussie, you know, make fun of yourself. And away you go. And that's one of the sub-points of that, learn to laugh at yourself and the difference between humility and pride. Philippians 4:13 is talking about suffering. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And sometimes, for some people, leading the singing is suffering. Okay, and so you need the Lord's strength to help you get through it. All right, but the other thing too is, and I'm going to come back to Carlos with this, okay, is be yourself. Be yourself. If you've got a good voice and you know the words, and you have a rapport with the children and are able to lead without jumping around, because I'm a jump around person. That's how God made me. Carlos got up there last night and quietly led the singing, and it was fabulous, right? Because he was himself. He didn't try to be Brother Kevin. Be yourself, and that's how you'll. And I'll repeat the same thing again when we get to preaching the message. You've got to be yourself. And was it Brother Buddy? Was it, where were you when you told us about the preacher who there was a lot of ruckus and he started saying, whispering to the kids nearby when I was a boy on the Mississippi? Was that to everybody or just to a few of us?
That was here.
To everybody?
Yes, in the morning. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So this preacher with a quiet voice, Gus Ward, the fellow who led me to the Lord. He could have a group of 50 or 60 teenagers, and when he brought the message, he's practically whispering. And every one of those teenagers was sitting there on the edge of their seat. Now, if I tried that, it probably wouldn't work because that's not me. Okay? Be yourself. And you can be confident when you are yourself, how God made you. You're going to be unconfident while you're trying to be somebody else, apart from the fact that you're getting wood, hay and stubble. All right, now we've got 4.5 minutes to cover games. All right, thanks, sis. All right, here we go. 1 Timothy 4:8. Anyone tell us what that says off the top of your head? Bodily exercises profiteth little, a little, okay? The idea is not that it's a waste of time. It's the idea is that it does profit a little. And so it is good for the Christian to be fit, have bodily exercise and so on and so forth. And so games, time for the bodily exercise is beneficial. 2 Timothy 4:12, and we talked about this yesterday, I do believe, in the introduction, that it gives you an opportunity to live what your lips have given out, okay? So it gives you an opportunity to practice what you preach. You preach forgiveness, you preach long-suffering and patience, you preach love and care for others, and then during the games time, the leaders are bickering amongst themselves. Oh, our team should have won that because they cut the corner, and you know, you've lost the kids because you're hypocrites. You wonder why they don't come back? Okay? So it is an example for you to show in conduct. Okay? Be an example in conduct is what 1 Timothy 4:12 says. 1 Peter 3:1 is talking about a Christian wife with an unsaved husband, and it says that you might win him with your conversation. Now, the word conversation in King James doesn't mean words, it means way of life, okay? That, and because it goes on to say that you might win him without words. So it's clearly talking about not what you say, but what you do, how you live. And that applies to everyone in of every age, okay? And by the way, it's the same word, in the same Greek word in 1 Timothy 4:8 as in verse 4:12 about your conduct. It's the same word in 1 Peter 3:1. The word conversation is the word that translated conduct in 1 Timothy 4:12. So let's talk about, and remember the statistics we talked about yesterday, about 7% from what you say and whatever it was, 18% or something from, what was it? 35 and 55. Yeah, 35 from the tone of voice and 55 by your body language. Okay, so you impact people through your activities, the way you behave yourself when you're not in your official spiritual capacity. And that's why games time is essential for ministry. It is a spiritual time. It's where the kids get to see you live out the Christian life. Okay? That's laser tag this afternoon and all that. Every activity that you do, the way you handle yourself on the bus, the way we handle ourselves giving out the food, all those sorts of things is showing what we are saying. And that has about a 93% impact on the kids. You've got to be given the truth, but then the rest of the time, and it basically works out like that, you know, we speak to them and share gospel truths with them for about 7% of the time that we have with them. And it's the rest of the time that either reinforces or dissolves what we put in with that crucial 7%. So, leaders, here we go. Let's go through it pretty quick. And it's very similar to the song leader thing. Okay, now I'm going to talk about, as you can see, the leader and then the games director. Because you have someone who's directing the games and then you have leaders for teams. Right? Yep, that sort of set up. So now we're just talking about the leaders. Be enthusiastic, okay? Not euthanized. Okay, be enthusiastic. Exude it, cheer, encourage. Now, if you've got kids, it's the first time that they've been and stuff, and the games director is explaining a new game or something, then you, not talking over the top of him, but once he's done and you're getting set up, say, okay, now let me just explain again what he said, did you understand any questions and stuff like that? So you with me? So that's what you need to do. And by the way, no booing. Right? When the other team wins, if anything, cheer them. What would you like for the other teams to do to you when your team wins? Would you like them to boo you? Of course not. How would you feel if the other teams cheered for you when you won and were happy for you? Okay? Now, that sort of thing's only going to happen at a Christian club. All right? Rightio. What was that? Be enthusiastic. Be alert. The country needs more alerts. We'll explain that one later too. Okay. All right. So, in other words, when the games director is explaining the games, then, hello, who's got to be listening the best? You. So that when the game starts, you're not going, what's we supposed to do now? You were listening to the games director, so you can explain it to the kids and you can lead them by example and all that sort of stuff. And try to know the name of the kids in your team. All right? All right, be organized. Stand in the right place. There is a right place and a wrong place for a team leader to stand. You can stand in the way of the kids, you can stand where they can't see you or hear you, or you can stand in a place where you're not in the way. If it's a circle or a square, you stand inside, just inside the square so that they come around past you and you're not blocking off any of the other teams or anything like that, and they can look at you and they can look over your shoulder to the games director, all those sorts of things. Okay, think ahead, save the game director having to tell you certain things. If you're a team leader, you should know enough about the routine and stuff that you can get your team organised ready for what you know the games director is going to tell them everybody to do shortly. That game's finished, he's going to do a new game, so get your team all lined up and quiet so that the games director doesn't have to say, all right, line up and be quiet. And he looks over to you and your kids are already lined up and quiet. And you say, extra 100 points to that team. Whatever you do, okay? Be supportive of the games director, not critical. He's only human. He may be less human than you, but he's still only human, okay? Encourage your team to listen to and to respect the games director, right? Support the games director. Now let's talk about the games director. If you are the one in charge of the whole game session, very similar to being a song leader and everything else, what's the first one?
Prepared.
Be prepared. Be prepared. First Chronicles, have you got that written there? Mm-hmm. First Chronicles chapter 22, verses 1 to 5, without looking it up. I know none of you, even the preacher, might struggle to know what this one is. Okay? This is where David got all of the material ready for Solomon to build the temple. Okay? The Lord told David, you're not going to build the temple. You're a man of war. Your son's going to build the temple. So what did David do? He said, well, he's going to do it. Let him do it. No. What did David do? He got all the material ready, all the nails, all the timber, and he prepared something for the job to be done, and it wasn't even him who was going to be doing the job. Okay? So be prepared. 1 Samuel 17:40, that's David going up against Goliath. He had more than adequate preparation for the battle. He took 5 stones. He only needed one. There is good argument to say that the other 4 were for Goliath's 4 brothers if they had tried to step up and take his place, because Goliath had four brothers, and you read about them later on and how each of them was slain. But David wasn't, we don't want to criticise him for being a man of lacking faith, can we? Because he took 5 stones when he only needed 1. Hello? I think that's a man who...
Either way, everyone else would be taking a bag of stones.
That's right. Yes. Or they wouldn't be game to even take a bag of stones, because they weren't game to go up against such a warrior. Okay, so he was a man of faith, but he was well prepared. All right, but there's certain things about these things that when I preach on them, I make the statement that we can't be sure about this, but think about it. Okay, so I will never say that the other 4 stones were 4 Goliath's brothers. And I don't know if you picked up that I didn't say they were 4 his brothers. I can't say that. You can't say that. That's adding to the scriptures, right? But we can say, let's ask ourselves the question, he was trusting the Lord, why did he take 5 stones? What do you think? Why did he take 5 stones? And we can get a whole bunch of ideas. Someone might come up with a better idea than you. And then we'll conclude by saying, now we can't be categorical on any of these things, but it's got us thinking, hasn't it? And it's got us thinking about biblical principles here. Be prepared. Be well prepared. Okay? Now, are you ready for this one? Okay. Being prepared means be prepared, even when you are not prepared. I'll say it again. Being prepared means be prepared even when you are not prepared. Brother Kev, can you lead games tonight? All right. Cam's car's broken down. So I gave Callum a break this time. All right. Cam's car's broken down. Can you lead the games or lead the club or whatever. You with me? If you are in the position of being a games director and that responsibility has been given to you, then you should be prepared to the point where if you are called upon in an instant to do that job, you are ready to do it. So being prepared means being prepared even when you don't have any time to prepare for something. That's what it means. And one of the mottos that we've had at our Bible college since it started was that the man of God and the woman of God, except for the preach bit, okay, should be prepared to preach, pray, or perish at an instant, at any time. If you're called upon to do it, you should be prepared to perish or to pray. Can you, I just call upon you to pray, please, brother. Oh, hang on, I haven't had time to think about it. You should be ready to pray. And if need be, you should be ready to get up and preach if you are called to the ministry. But for every Christian, you should be ready to pray at any time. You should be ready to perish at every time, any time. And if you're a games director or song leader, you should be ready to step up and do that at any time, straight off the bat. Have, in other words, have something up your sleeve other than an armpit. Where's he gone? Oh, there you are. You're directly behind Abby. Couldn't see you. Okay. All right. Oh, that's right. Back when we had our Mountaineers Club, I didn't know that a little girl in our club had, I think she had autism, and which meant in conjunction with her physical disability, because your brain is part of your body, so it's a physical disability, she had a certain phobias. And I had prepared all the games that night. It was going to be a balloon night. Every game was a balloon game. Every game was a balloon game. And got there and discovered that Lizzie had balloonophobia. She was terrified of balloons. Now, that was a time where I had to be prepared even when I wasn't prepared. So, all right, let's play poison ball. Who wants to play poison ball? Every kid wants to play poison ball, right? Okay, and so we played poison ball and I don't want to see and captain the man over, what's it called? Battleships? Yeah. Battleships, right? Man overboard and all that sort of stuff. Just pulled out the old favourites that the kids would have every week if you asked for it. What game do you want to play? It'll be poison ball or it'll be battleships or one of those favourites, right? It's the same, kids are the same all over.
We had one night, we did this sort of the same thing, we had food night.
Yep. So, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And that was the case of what can we now play, what can we not play?
Yep. And out comes battleships and poison ball and those ones, yeah. So that's what it means. Okay. So be prepared means have the equipment out for the games that you're going to play, ready to go. You're not foraging through trying to find them. Have resources. And now this is stepping out beyond. This is helping you to prepare. Buy books. Find websites. Okay. Resources for new games that you might be able to try.
There's a whole stack in there for our guys.
There's a whole stack already there. Okay, you've got a library of them. Okay, if possible, have something that sick or injured kids can do, such as like a library of books. If they can't join in the games because they've got a broken leg, but they've come along to club. Have some books or something that they can read or colouring or whatever, okay? And this comes back to discipline, is be in charge, all right? Use your count or whatever you use wisely. Blowing the whistle, we talked about it yesterday with discipline. And as we said, in discipline, mean it and follow through. And it's much easier to start tough and then ease off than to start soft, slack, and then have to get tougher and tougher and tougher until you have to execute one or two kids in order to get their point, okay? Now, I can remember, now it's time to tell this story. I was nearly going to tell it yesterday and I'd crossed it out and I realised that's because I relocated it place.
I just busted it, did I?
No. I forgot that it was clipped to my jacket. I'm starting to get hot here and it's just about time for a break. Anyway,
let's hope I didn't break it.
Hello, hello.
Righto. My younger brother and a mate of his were walking through a supermarket doing a little bit, buying a couple of snacks or bits of shopping that they were doing. And about three or four aisles down, they could hear this woman with her child. Johnny, don't touch that. And they could hear it from three or four aisles away, okay? Johnny, what did I tell you? Johnny, put that down. Johnny, if you don't put that down, you're going to be in trouble. Johnny, what did I just say? And everyone in the supermarket could hear this woman. And after a few minutes, my brother's mate stopped and he leant back and he went, Johnny, would you please do what your mother says so we can all have some peace? Now, we're about four aisles away, so the woman couldn't see who it was.
That's him right away.
So please, go for it sometime, okay? I won't tell you what my sister did at the checkout once, but anyway, no, I will tell you what my sister did at the checkout. But anyway, there wasn't another word after that. And as they're going up and down the aisles, every other person in the supermarket with their shopping trolleys doing their shopping had this big grin from ear to ear. Well, my sister was going through the checkout, and ahead of her, the next person ahead of her was a woman with this little girl, and the girl was playing up and wouldn't behave herself, and the mother said, if you don't stop what you're doing, that lady's going to give you a smack. Can you believe that? She said, and she pointed at my sister and said, that lady's going to give you a smack. And my sister looked at the little girl and she said, no, I won't give you a smack, little girl, but I would love to give your mother one. Oh! Well, think about it. Fancy using a person you don't know, a stranger, as a threat to your child. How? I mean, that's just almost terrible, unthinkable, isn't it? And so, my sister, being who she was, and still is, said that. All right, I think it's time for a break, isn't it? Oh, we've got a couple of more little bits. Sorry. Blah, blah, blah. Same old story. Watch out for favourites and anti-favourites. Make sure everyone knows what's what. And you, as a games leader, the director, remember, like we said about the other way around, remember that your leaders are human, okay? Don't give them grief, okay? Because they make mistakes like you make mistakes. Give them some slack. Be patient with them and be thankful for them. Okie doke. Now, over the page, or...
What about number three?
Number three, the games. Yeah. Sorry? Yeah. Make the most of what you have. I forgot I had another whole page. Okay, that's a whole page of notes for me, but only a little bit for you. Okay, make the most of what you have. In other words, variation. One game can become 10. All right? Baton relay can become a banana relay, can become a balloon relay, can become a leader relay. They've got to tuck the leader under their arm. No, literally they have to grab their leader and run around with their leader and hand their leader on to the next kid. One game can become 10 games. Use a bit of variation. You don't necessarily have to come up with a new game. You can just do a variation. And battleships, right? I remember the first time I did it, I was in the middle of the game. It was just straight off the top of my head. So it's front of the ship, back of the ship. And I don't know if you do it too. I'll go front of the ship. And they're almost here, and I'll go back of the ship. And then they've got to turn around and go, front of the ship, back of the ship, front of the ship, back of the ship, front of the ship, back of the ship. And they go, and then they all just drop down and in a coma for about 10 minutes. You can go and have a coffee. You come back. By the time they wake up, you take up where you left off. And then they're running backwards and forwards, and I said, go fishing! And they all went, what? I said, go fishing! And they all ran to the edge, and they all threw their rods in and started going like this. They had worked it out. So be inventive, have fun, add variation, okay? You can have theme nights, like I said, balloon night, but check out, for make sure the food night, you have something for the ones who have allergies and all that sort of stuff. So have you got try these for size or whatever? So here I've got a whole list of games that I could give you, but you guys have got lots of... Yeah, and I've already photocopied, we've taken a photocopy of them, so you can get a copy of the photocopy of the games. We have one called Rescue the Wombat. Okay? Rescue the Wombat. And we take a bean bag, put the bean bag in the middle, and the teams are numbered off, one to 10 or whatever it is, and you call, and the wombat is in quicksand, and all that's sticking out is his nose. That's why it's a bean bag, you see. And you call number one, and the ones have to run out, and they have to try and rescue the wombat without being tagged by the other kid. So they both come running in. See, if it was just first to get it, they smash, and broken bones and blood noses and all sorts of things. But because if you grab it, then the other kid can tag you, and he wins, or she wins, you see. So you've got to rush out, and then you've got to slow down, and then you're both like this, and make a run for it, and that's rescue the wombat. So, yeah, lots of games. Frisbee golf, beanbag toss. Beanbag toss is another one that we invented. You get chairs not like this that have got a hole in the back for it to go through, but you have chairs that don't have a hole in the back, and you put a row of chairs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 chairs, and there's a line here. The first chair's worth 100 points. The second chair's worth 200. The next one's worth 500, and the one way off in the distance in the fog is worth 1,000. And the kids, if you, they get one throw, or two if you want to give them each two throws, that's 100 points, pretty well guaranteed. But you know what's going to happen. The smart Alex will come up, missed. Zip. Okay? And so the leader's there coaching and saying, what do you feel confident with, you know, if you just get the 100 points... And they don't get, and they're going for the big ones, and they miss them all. We're going to win. So work out what do you reckon you can do, and lots of different variations of games that you can do: poison ball, battleships, traffic lights. Okay, I don't see. I think I taught you guys 1, 2, 3. I don't want to see, didn't I?
We do know that one, but I don't know if you taught it.
Yeah. I think I invented that one. I don't know. I don't think, I'm sure I couldn't have. It's too clever a game for me to have invented.
We play that in action, but we change the game, the name to be more thing or something like that.
Right, yeah.
We didn't know what the name was.
That's a cool name. When you're on a good thing, mate, stick to it. All right, musical buses. Right, dead fish. Dead fish is a leader's favourite. Yeah. Because... they've got to lay, the kids got to lay on the ground and be a dead fish, and if they move, they're out. And I've had kids go to sleep. Fair dinkum. Yeah, I literally have had kids go to sleep. And that's one that you can go out and get a coffee and come back and they're still there. And they love it. Because statues is much harder, because if you like this after a while... if you want to make it quick, then statues, because after a while they start wobbling and their arm starts to drop. Right, you're out. But if you want it to really last a long time and you want to chill for a while, dead fish is just brilliant, okay? All right, there you go. So team games, group games. You will find your kids... what have I written here? This seems pretty profound. Oh, not Cam again.
Can you... there are games that are appropriate.
Yeah.
There are games that are appropriate maybe for a younger age, not for an older age.
Yeah. Well, that was sort of why I wasn't going to go through most of these, because most of these are for the younger kids.
Yeah.
But it depends on you and your kids, your teenagers. If the teenagers are what I would call cool, they'll play any game. Okay? But if you've got teenagers who are self-conscious or who've got to be cool, I'm a teenager, I'm not a kid anymore, that's a kid's game, then you have to work around that until they soften up and get saved or whatever, okay? So there are appropriate games, like one of the favourites with the teenagers is flags. What's the one where you have the steal the flag? Capture the flag. That's a classic favourite teenager game, right?
So, teaching
people to steal. What was that?
Teaching people to steal.
That's exactly, yeah. There's one that I like for the little kids. You have tennis balls or whatever in a bucket. Rob the nest. And I'm trying to think if I, ever change the name of that to something less indicative of, yeah, it was.
We used to play sardines with the little kids.
Right.
We don't play that with teenagers.
No, exactly. And definitely not a sardines game with the teenagers, yeah. So I guess all I can say is that you've got half a brain, you can work out what's appropriate for your age group and the particular group of your age group that you've got. Okay, if you can't work out what's appropriate, then you shouldn't be leading the group. You don't need me to go through a list of games and say this is appropriate for this age and that's appropriate for that age. You should know your group, and you should know in any circumstance what game is not appropriate for your age group. So I think I'd be here forever trying to go through and delineate, but you would have the discernment, if God's put you in that position, to know what's appropriate and so forth, I think. Does that sound fair?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So let me just read this that I've written down here. I can't remember what it is, but we all know that. You will find your kids have favourites. Don't be afraid to use, like with songs, the same games regularly, okay? And the best way to find the favourites is this week, you guys get to choose the games, okay? And away you go from there.